Maybe you remember that the 12 apostles had been sent out by Jesus with a special power to heal and to cast out impure spirits and to preach the kingdom of God. And they did so. They went out. We don't know for what period of time or exactly where they went, but they came back and had good reports. And that's where Luke picks up the story here and carries on with the story about feeding the 5,000. I think that Luke was moved by the Holy Spirit to put this story in there to begin to answer Herod's question. Who is this I hear so much about? Jesus. Who is Jesus? And Luke inserts this story and then other events and teaching by Jesus to show us by the end of the chapter conclusively who Jesus is. And we've been asking that question all along in the book of Luke. Who is Jesus and what did Jesus teach? Have been our two guiding questions. And we find this huge miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. It's in all four Gospels of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The story's in all four of them. It's remarkably the same in all four. There are a few little bit details that some of the others include that Luke doesn't, but overall it's the same story, same timing more or less. This story is even well known outside of Christian circles. You hear references to things like, oh, that's like feeding the 5,000 or something like that. It's a big one. And Luke's account begins with the information that Jesus and the 12 apostles, withdrew, in other words, they went away together to the area of Bethsaida. That's another town at the northern end of the Sea of Galilee. Now, if you look at a map and you see up at the northern end of the Sea of Galilee or the lake, whatever you want to call it, the town we've been talking about a lot is Capernaum. And it's on the west side of the Jordan River. That was kind of headquarters for Jesus in his Galilee ministry. And then Bethsaida would be east of there, also at the north end, the top of the lake. But it's on the east side of the Jordan River. Now, those towns were close enough that people could walk from one to the other, or they could take a boat in the lake from one to the other. Relatively easy journey, either by foot or by boat. Just to set up what we're going to read here. Also, we conclude by the story that they didn't actually go into the town of Bethsaida because it says they were out in a remote place. So they went to the area of Bethsaida. All right, let's just read the account from Luke chapter 9, verse 10 and following. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging because we are in such a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everyone sat down, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Quite a picnic. So Jesus took the 12 away for a secluded retreat, right? That was the intention. They withdrew. They went away from everyone so they could have some time together. They needed to debrief over all the work that they'd been doing without Jesus. And I'm sure they wanted to tell him all their stories, and he wanted to hear them, and they needed rest. And so Jesus said, "Let's come with me. Let's get away from everyone and spend some time together." Jesus was concerned about the apostles. He was concerned about them. He was concerned that they be prepared for the future. He was concerned that they rest. He was concerned that they learn what they needed to learn. He wanted them to do well. And so he took them away from everyone for this getaway. But the crowds followed. Now we learn from the other Gospels that it looks like the 12 went by boat over toward Bethsaida, and the crowds saw their trajectory or so. Anyway, they pretty much met him over there as they came from different places, and I guess the word got out where they were. So here, their private retreat was overwhelmed by more than 5,000 people. Now, it's interesting that Jesus did not tell the crowd to go away. We're having some time here. Or he didn't just take the 12 and go somewhere else. But we just read that he welcomed the crowds. He welcomed them. And he preached to them, he proclaimed the kingdom, and he healed those who needed healing. Jesus was concerned about the people. He was concerned for them. Mark tells us they were like sheep without a shepherd. Just bad, you know, going everywhere. And Jesus saw them and he was concerned for them and he welcomed them. He spoke to them about the kingdom and he healed those who needed healing. Our first point, our first principle today is God is always concerned with the welfare of people, especially those who are seeking him. Now, as the day wore on, late in the afternoon, it says, the disciples went to Jesus and suggested that he send the crowd away to find their own food and lodging. Now, maybe they were simply motivated by their own concern for the people. Or maybe they wanted their Jesus time back, right? Maybe they were like, hey, we need you. We send all the rest of them. I don't know. But it says that they came to Jesus and recommended to him that he send them away to find their own food and lodging. And Jesus' reply is terrific. You feed them. You give them something to eat. Now, sometimes my imagination gets carried away with these stories, but I can envision the 12 standing there when he said, you give them something to eat. I imagine shuffling feet, looking at each other like, what did he say? We have 5 barley loaves and a couple of dried up fish. And we also learned from the other Gospels that it was actually a little boy who brought that, but he offered it up. What? Give them something to eat? How could they feed 5,000 people with a little bit of bread and fish? I don't know if Jesus enjoyed their discomfort for the moment, you know, made them worry a bit. I don't know if he did that. But he gave them instruction. He had a plan. He said, have the people sit down in groups of about 50. And they did so. They obeyed. They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. And then Jesus took the bread and the fish and held it up toward heaven and gave thanks to the Father. Thank you, Lord, for this provision. Thank you, Father, for this provision. And then he began to break it into pieces and hand it out and told the apostles, go hand it out into the groups. I don't know how long it'd take to hand out pieces of bread and fish to 100 groups or more of 50. I don't know how long that would take. We're not told exactly how the multiplication happened with the fish and the bread. But surely we are to understand that the multiplying happened and that this was miraculously multiplied by the hand of God until everyone was fed. Is that not what you read there? That God just willed it. That Jesus gave thanks to the Father and began to pass out the bread and the fish, and it just multiplied. And I make that point strongly because I read in a commentary that some people say, well, probably a better understanding of that would be that everybody was kind of, you know, people would have a little store of food and water maybe, but they were hiding it. They were keeping it to themselves because they were afraid if they showed it, they would have to share with everybody and there wouldn't be enough to go around. But this little boy, he shares his 5 loaves and fish. And then everybody thinks, well, if he did, we should. And lo and behold, there was enough for everybody to eat. Is that what you read? Read the story in every gospel. It says they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus gave thanks to the Father, and they began to pass it out, and there was enough for everybody. This was a bit of a different kind of miracle than the 12 had witnessed before. Now, they had just gone out and been a part of healings and casting out of spirits, and yet they come back, and they're still... they must have been wowed by this event, but they were obedient and they relied on Jesus to make it happen. How much did they eat? I want you to see here that God is generous. He's not stingy. Everyone was fed and fed well. They were fit. They ate till they were satisfied. Now, some of this lot on the second or third row, that'd be a lot of fish and bread. They were sat. It says they were all satisfied. You know what it doesn't say? That Jesus did all the ritual cleansing of his hands and that made sure that the other people were cleansed by the rules of the Pharisees and that the food was cleansed. It doesn't mention that. It says he lifted it to heaven and said thank you and began to divide it. And they all had as much as they wanted. God is concerned. God is generous. How much did they have? They ate all they wanted. They were satisfied. I want you to know that I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that kingdom living is satisfying. Living in God's kingdom is satisfying because God's ways and God's provision are abundant. God's provision is always abundant. You could even say extravagant. How much was left over? 12 baskets full. Started off with 5 bits of bread and 2 fish, and now they fed everybody, more than 5,000 people, and they have 12 baskets full left over. Now that's either one for each apostle, or it's just 12, And in the Hebrew thinking, in their number system, 12 always meant plenty. It was full. It was complete. 12 tribes, 12 apostles. That number means something in their way of thinking. God is concerned. He's generous. His supply is always abundant. Now think back to Herod's question. Who is this? Who is this I hear such things about? Who is Jesus? Let me just state it plainly for you and let in case you're having trouble with the answer to the question. Jesus is the one anointed and sent by God to rescue his people. He is Messiah. He is Christ. He was sent to show us the way to live in God's kingdom. He is King. And the King is concerned about his people. That's the kind of kingdom that is God's kingdom. The King is concerned about his people. He loves his people. The King is generous beyond all measure. The King's resources are abundant. Jesus had and he has the authority and the power to take care of his people. His concern, his love is true. It's evident. His generosity is beyond our wildest dreams. His supply is abundant and satisfying. This miracle is part of the answer to Herod's question. Who's Jesus? Who's this? Watch. Now, this was written down a long time after the event happened and after Herod was there. And so it's written down, so we will know through the generations and into our language, our understanding, who is Jesus. Jesus is God on earth, a generous provider. And we enjoy God as we live for Him. We receive the concern, we receive the generosity and the abundance so that we can share it. You get that? We receive it so that we can share it. We learn to allow His character to shape our character, and then we can live with the same abundance mentality. We can live as kingdom citizens, and we can be concerned about people. We can be generous with people. We can help them find satisfaction in Christ. We can promote kingdom living. Now, we often hear about God's miraculous and abundant supply, you know, when we go on mission trips or we hear from the mission field, and all that's good. It's right. And often we experience it in those times because we set aside all of our busyness and we focus on what God's doing. But let me remind you, please, just think about how God has been pouring out His blessings right here at Lawn Baptist. Right here in our very community. And He's been blessing us here not only with fiscal resources, but with people. You. Little old church in Lawn. And we've had 99 new members in the last 3 calendar years. And we'll add another handful by the end of this month. And that's just the official type membership. There are many others who are coming and engaging in God's work with us. It's every time I think about it, every time I consider what's been going on here in the last few years, it just is amazing. God is, He's concerned, He's generous, His supply is abundant. He doesn't run out of resources. So we just need to get on his plan, you see. We just have to live in his plan. We need to be faithful. We need to be obedient in order to enjoy his blessings. That does not mean that we earn his favor. It means that we can either live within his boundaries and enjoy the blessings, or we can live outside of his boundaries where the blessings are slim. Is that a fair way to say it? We're going to enjoy God's blessing more if we're living in his boundaries. We're obedient and faithful to him. We need to come into his presence so that he can bless us how he wants to bless us. Because he loves us. He's generous. This is not a health and wealth gospel. I'm not telling you to put a dollar in the plate so you can get two. That's not the story. But it is true that when you are in the kingdom and you're living as a kingdom person, you will enjoy God's blessing. And his provision does not run out. Because God is concerned, we can be concerned about our neighbors. Because God is generous, we can be generous. Because God's resources are abundant, we can live with an abundance mentality. God's love is extravagant, beyond our wildest dreams, beyond measure. If you're wondering, then why haven't I been feeling it? Why do I feel like God doesn't love me anymore? Sometimes we go through dry spells, and there may be no explanation for it. In those dry spells, we keep doing what we know is right. We keep going to the spiritual disciplines. And sometimes we feel like God's against us because we've removed ourselves from his presence by our sin and by our wrong living, right? And if that's where you are today, stop. Stop that. And get right with the Lord. Confess whatever it is. Repent. And if you're sitting there this morning and you're wondering, what in the world is this guy going on about? I don't even know Jesus. I want to invite you to know him today. All that really requires is that you turn to God and say, I need you. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner and I need you. I confess my failings. I want to live for you. And that's the beginning of the kingdom life. If you need to do that, would you come as we sing this morning? Music team, come on up. If you need to do business with the Lord, this is the right time. And it's always the right time to worship, to celebrate his blessings. Would you stand with me?